Yes. So, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we're going to take a look at Glass, and it's directed by M. Night Shyamalan, who sometimes is not known for very good movies, and it's written by him, and it stars James McAvoy, Bruce Willis, and Samuel L. Jackson, and the synopsis is, security guard David Dunn uses his supernatural abilities to track Kevin Wendell Crumb, a disturbed man who has 24 personalities. Follows along in the line of several movies. So the first movie was Unbreakable with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. It was somewhat of a superhero origin story before there were really a lot of superhero movies. Back in 2017, a very surprising movie from M. Night Shyamalan, which was Split. James McAvoy and his character had a multiple personality disorder, and he also was slightly supervillain-like. Then this movie, again, follows along that line about how do we converge those movies together? Let's start off with Keith.
In a word, I'm going to say disappointing. The movie started out strongly. M. Night Shyamalan attempted to throw doubt on the audience and in the characters by having the characters doubt themselves and doubt that they actually had superpowers. This method of doing that, they had a psychiatrist who pretty much captures them in prison, and they're going through the psychiatric whitewashing. Each one of the sessions is to convince them that they are not special, that their abilities are simply just a manifestation of a particular psychosis that they are studying. That was an interesting premise. It was a good attempt, but the execution of that was failing because, namely, the audience had seen these superhuman feats that were going down. We weren't doubting anymore. In the first movie, Unbreakable, there was that doubt. Realization that he can do these amazing things. Next is you've got Horde, played by James McAvoy. His multiple personalities are like begin to doubt that the Beast's power was real or not. And again, we saw in the previous movie that I don't care how old shotgun shells are, a shotgun blast point blank at less than a foot away from you, getting shooting you.
It's going to do damage.
It's going to do damage. It didn't do jack to that dude. It like basically the pellets didn't even penetrate his muscle layer. The audience knew that this dude was something like beyond that. Even then.
Yeah, so let me cut you off for a second. So if you haven't seen Split, as Keith described, he has multiple personalities, and one of the personalities becomes a supernatural, superhuman being. And he has superhuman strength and climb walls and do stuff. So he had already seen his ability to do that. Mm-hmm. And then what you have is a movie turns it upside down to tell you what you just saw, what the director had already created. Two movies previously,
right?
Does not matter.
Even in that, as that progresses on, the actors in this who are trying to come to grips with this. And I got that. I understood. I said, okay, you know what? That's fine. She's going to learn her lesson once the shit hits the fan. It takes literally maybe 45 minutes for that to happen. In between that time, when they're trying to convince these stuff, there's a lot of close-ups of these characters as they're talking and going through. And James McAvoy and Samuel Jackson and Bruce Willis are all phenomenal. They're great actors. So it's not as horrendous, but it is boring. What ended up happening was that M. Night decided this was going to be his Watchmen, that he was going to throw a bucket of cold water on the whole superhero trope, which was unnecessary because he'd already done something that no other Marvel or DC movie has been able to do. He actually did a realistic portrayal of people with superpowers.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd done that. He literally done it. And
that was before superhero movies became popular.
Before they even came out.
X-Men, maybe. That's about it.
Yeah, you're right. X-Men came out. But he did something that no one has able to done and do well. And that is create a superhero and a superhero origin story with a believable villain. And it doesn't matter if it's believable or not. You actually can believe that somebody out there is just strong as hell. Could probably pick up a train. He or she are just living normal lives and stuff. Maybe occasionally would try that. Like Unbreakable was groundbreaking in that the twist being that this is for real. This guy's a superhero. He's got super strength. He has an arch villain. And this is the most realistic portrayal of it. And this is what it would go through. When it got to the point where the audience is going to be rewarded for all the buildup, it got to that point. We were like, okay, I was fine with the fight scenes being a little mediocre, but that's fine. It's normal guys. They don't have any training. This is a drama. This is a thriller. And then you get to the point where he starts doing what he did in his previous films before he settled down with The Visit. And that is throwing a twist in there.
Not just any twist. How many twists?
He did, what, three twists? Three or four?
Four, but let's get to James. Let's get to James. James?
At first, like Keith mentioned, I was invested in the movie. I liked it. I was like, okay, let's see what they're doing. I see how they're tying everything up. It was cool. I enjoyed it to a certain point. And I said this when we were discussing it. This movie committed suicide. And he committed suicide to something that could have been so great. You have these three characters. You have Mr. Glass, you have the Horde, and you have Dunn. All these characters are special in their own way, from what he's saying. And like you said, Barry, he wants to put this seed of doubt into your mind that maybe they aren't so special, but we already know they are. You had a whole fucking movie explaining that. I don't understand the point of doing that. It's like you're trying to undo what you've already done, but we already know they're special. We already know this. So it did have its stale parts, and because of those stale parts and because of the third act, this movie just took a total nosedive in a wrong direction. I thought it was shot okay. It was shot pretty good. No, some of the close-ups.
I'm gonna go into that. I'm gonna break it down from a cinematographer's point of view, but go ahead.
I thought it was shot okay, but some of the close-ups were a little bit too much, and then some of the uncharacteristically bright colors for no reason. I didn't quite understand that. And then also some of the other shot, like the overhead shot, I'm like, what's the point of this? The only shot that I could say that I really liked was the shot from the Horde's, well, the Beast's perspective when he encountered Dunn for the first time. I like that shot. So it was shot okay. It could have been better. It just, like, some of the color tones did not really work for it. This movie could have been so much better than what it was. And it seemed like he's just reverting back. He's regressing because he was doing a pretty good job. The Visit was decent. Split was pretty good, and now this. People were clamoring for this because of the idea of what it could have been, because Unbreakable was pretty good. Split was pretty good. You were like, oh, man, I want to see how this all ties in. And then the payoff isn't what you expected, and it isn't what most people, in my opinion, probably was hoping for from the previous movies. In my opinion, this is the worst one out of the whole trilogy.
All right, Matt.
I actually broke the movie down into thirds, so the first few thirds of the movie I thought went pretty well as far as going into the character, although Bruce Willis's character seemed, in my opinion, more of an afterthought, with most of the concentration being on McAvoy? Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yeah.
The majority of the movie concentrated on him, even though, you know, he is the more recent of the characters. First two thirds of the movie, like, I actually enjoyed. It kept me suspenseful. Although the last third of the movie, I felt that he bombed. There were so many different ways that he could have ended that movie to make it more enjoyable. And yes, he did put a twist on it, but there wasn't a lot of explanation as far as why these folks were there or a buildup of it. And as far as Infinity War, what, took 10 years in the making? This was 19 years in the making?
Matt, I don't know if it was in the making, though. For some reason, I think they were kind of thrown together.
Yeah, Split shoehorned that in. Most of M. Night's movies take place in Philadelphia.
Same universe.
Yeah.
It kind of takes place in the same universe, all of his movies.
But that last third of the movie, I didn't really enjoy too much. I was sitting there, and I knew it wasn't going to be like a whole bunch of action scenes. I mean, I get that. It's more like psychological thriller. I get it, but it didn't end well for me. I really liked the acting, though. James McAvoy.
Well, I would say if you act well in a bad movie, you are still in a bad movie.
I don't think anybody's denying that. I think we're all in agreement that the fault lies completely with M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Every decision he made, aside from casting, is a train wreck for this.
All right. So let me just go into a couple of things. And I turned to Keith and I said, look, this is about to be some trash. And he was like, what are you talking about? I just feel as if M. Night Shyamalan was upset and angry at people that have compared his movies to comic book movies. He attempted to make this satire anti-superhero movie. Spends almost 2 hours trying to tell you this is not a superhero movie. This is not the typical superhero movie. But you have this somewhat drama, somewhat action movie, somewhat convoluted plot. Eventually, it's just like, what were you thinking? This came to his mind. Why would you do this? Why would you even just allow yourself to make this boring piece of crap? The dialogue is terrible. And every time Sarah Paulson came on the screen, who played the doctor, the psychiatrist, I was just completely annoyed by her, and I just wish she would disappear. And
yeah, she was annoying. She's a pretty decent actress too. No, I was just really annoyed.
The best part about her is that she died at the beginning of the Bird Box.
But you don't like her at all?
No, I don't. I do not. I do not like her. Anyway.
Okay.
Along with that, the entire dialogue was terrible. Every bit of dialogue is either choppy, stilted, phrases. And then at the end of the movie, you have characters professing themselves as this was Shakespeare, particularly Samuel Jackson. I'm like, why are you acting like this is Shakespeare? He's turning M. Night Shyamalan's crappy dialogue into some stage play about roses or something and love. I'm like, what? Oh my God, I have done this and I have proclaimed. I'm like, yo, stop this. This movie is utter trash. And people are defending this because they want M. Night Shyamalan to be successful. This movie,
and they want the movie to be good.
This guy has made...
I'm defending it.
There are people...
that actually like this movie.
I'm starting to question right now if I ever liked this movie. That's how much I despise this movie. Sixth Sense, I don't know. Maybe I need to go rewatch it. I might turn out hate that movie. Unbreakable, same thing. Signs, terrible. Village, terrible. Lady in the Water, definitely terrible.
I hate The Village.
The Happening, terrible. Last Airbender, terrible. After Earth, terrible. Terrible. The Visit, I did not see. Split, we all gave that an 8. I might have to change my score about that. But after we left the movie, I turned to Keith and James, and I said, there will be no more M. Night Shyamalan movies reviewed on the podcast. And I was 100% serious, and I need the buy-in from you guys that there will be no more movies from him on the podcast, because I cannot take any more. Even Keith said it himself. He would rather watch Murder on the Orient Express, which we both collectively gave a 0 to. We fell asleep.
Oh, and we both fell asleep on the movie.
Twice. Too. More than once. I disappeared for about 30 minutes out the movie.
Oh, I was pissed, dude. Don't believe that shit.
And Keith woke up, but he would rather watch... But Keith would rather watch Murder on the Orient Express.
Indeed.
Then rewatch this movie. I would rather watch Suicide Squad several times over than this movie. And those are, at least collectively, as a group, the lowest rated movies on the podcast. I don't know what he was thinking. And I don't know if he's brilliant or he's just...
Oh, he's not brilliant.
No, he's not brilliant. He's not brilliant. And it just begs the question about why do people keep giving him money? He's kind of at this point like Uwe Boll.
I knew you was going to bring his ass up. I was just waiting for it.
He has taken on the task of saying, hey, I don't want anybody financing my stuff. I want to have total creative control.
Yeah, that's why I was moving to Philadelphia.
Somebody needs to rein him in. Somebody needs to take his scripts, tear them joints up, and say, like, this is what we're going to do. You just direct the movie. Because the level of control that he has is terrible. He's not some visionary director that created The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable. He is terrible.
I wonder, has he ever directed something that he did not write?
Last Airbender, wasn't it?
No, I think he wrote that.
What are you talking about, man? The Last Airbender was awesome.
I'm done talking about this movie.
Keith, what score would you give Glass?
Give this shit a -2. I'm going to guarantee it gets the lowest score possible. Negative numbers. Don't watch this movie at all. Don't watch any future movies from this clown. Right? It was disappointing. I almost fell asleep. No, I'm sorry. I did doze off a couple
My brother
times.
Said he fell asleep in the movie at 4 p.m.
Like, slow. It took itself way too freaking seriously for the end result that we got, which is a bunch of people talking about the recognition, the origin story of what? What origin story could possibly be going on here? It's a dumbass movie. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm done with Shyamalan Lam, whatever the fuck his name is. He's dead to me, and thank God. Thank God he didn't touch a single Marvel or DC movie or product.
That would be his last Marvel movie.
He'll never get those jobs now. Warner Brothers will probably hire him to direct something stupid, but Marvel will never hire him for anything. Fuck him. I'm done with him. I'm done.
James?
Shit. I don't even know what the fuck. I give this movie a 2. And the reason why I give it a 2 is because I give it a 2 for the only 2 acts I was interested for. No more to really say. It had me hooked into the movie from the beginning. I was hooked. And then after a while, it did start becoming very boring. It's just a little bit too much. I mean, you should never really be bored in a movie theater. And that's never a good sign. You know, I looked over to Keith. Keith was knocked out.
Like, lean forward and start looking at me. I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Also, make sure you get your vitamin D. So, yeah.
With the grapeseed oil. Matt.
I didn't have as harsh a view as the three of you do, so I don't mind going against the grain. I thought the first two-thirds of the movie were pretty well done. The last third left a lot to be desired, so I'd give this movie about a 6.
You are off the podcast. Get off.
I'd definitely watch it again on cable if it was on. But I didn't think it as bad as what everyone else thought, and I came in there with an open mind, given his history, but I didn't say he fully redeemed himself. I'm not a very big M. Night fan by any means, but this wasn't too bad. So
I'm speechless right now.
He's just fucking with us, man. His score is like a 2. Keep going. What's your score, Barry? Go on.
My score is what I told Keith before we record the podcast. My score is a 0. There's no possible way I'm giving this movie anything above and beyond that. M. Night Shyamalan is a very poor director, and someone, again, needs to stop funding his movies, stop allowing him to release stuff in the movie theater, let him release stuff on Netflix and Hulu, and he is not this visionary director that people thought he was.
No, he's not at all.
He might have had 3 good movies in his whole career. Might. Again, I need to go rewatch Sixth Sense. It's possible that movie is not good. Unbreakable, same thing. Split, since I've seen that recently, that movie is good, but maybe I don't like it as much as I do because of this movie. And I'm just kind of tired of, well, you have to have a twist. You know what? What he could have done is because he hates his viewing public so much, said, you know what? I'm not going to do a twist. I'm just going to allow a straightforward narrative without all these flashbacks and all these ha-ha moments. Then again, the dialogue's terrible. There's no possible way someone can give this that positive of a score, Matt. But I mean, the dialogue is bad. The cinematography's
positive,
not good.
2019.
Cinematography's bad. Yeah. And then you got Samuel L. Jackson just looking to the camera the whole time for about an hour of the movie before he actually says it does something. And again, I understand the archetypes. Superhero, supervillain, and then the basically bizarro. I'm just kind of tired of M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, no, it was some shit. It was some bullshit. It was some garbage, huh?
All right, so I'm giving this a 0. Keith has given it a negative score. James gave it a 2. Matt gave it a 6. I disagree with it, but that's the Beast Game Podcast. Don't see this movie. Don't support M. Night Shyamalan. We will not be reviewing any more M. Night Shyamalan movies and or recognizing him in the future.
Because
this is garbage. God damn!
This is my verbal confirmation agreement with that. I concur. I'm done with that clown.
James yesterday said he didn't know about all that. He couldn't necessarily support blocking him from the podcast, but I will have to veto power. Matt, you're okay. You're safe on this one. Yeah, getting voted off, but don't do it again.
He's like, podcast. This is a fucking survivor and
basically,
shit.
Basically, you my boy, Matt. Peace, gay.